start experiencing a quake like that here, you wonder how close it really is.
A weekend quake shakes up local communities, and the captain of the state ferry system is leaving the helm. It's KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The big question in Southeast Alaska this weekend was, did you feel the quake? In some communities, it was, where'd you evacuate to? Or did anything break? The 7.5 magnitude earthquake struck at 11:58 p.m. Friday, with more than a dozen weaker aftershocks following for hours. The trembler, which some called the midnight quake, hit about 60 miles west of Craig on Prince of Wales Island. Officials issued a tsunami warning for all of Southeast, plus coastal communities to the west and south. And in Craig, Sitka, and Petersburg, residents evacuated low-lying areas for schools, post offices, or other high-elevation shelters. In Skagway, Mayor Stan Selmer was still awake when he felt the beginning of the quake. At first, he thought it was a small quake, similar to the last one felt in the area in October.
So anyway, on Friday night, 2 minutes to midnight, the same type of action hit. And so I thought it was over, and I got up and I was walking down the hall to wake my wife up to tell her that she missed a quake. And by the time I got halfway down the hall, I was holding onto the hall both sides trying to stand up to walk. And my house was like it was on water, you know. Different parts of the house were going different directions at the same time. It was kind of an anxious moment or two, because when you start experiencing a quake like that here, you wonder how close it really is.
Mayor Selmer said to him the quake felt longer and more intense than either the Latula Bay quake or the Great Alaska Earthquake in 1964. He stayed in contact with the Skagway Police Department until the tsunami warning was canceled at about 2 a.m. Although a fair distance from the epicenter, the mayor said the wording of the tsunami warning, to expect, quote, significant widespread inundation of land, created some anxiety. Another tsunami warning was issued for Southeast communities in October after that earthquake near the Queen Charlotte Islands. The U.S. Geological Survey said the two quakes are related. Selmer said, considering this was the second tsunami warning issued for Southeast in the last few months, he's asked the Skagway manager to update the town's tsunami preparedness plan.
The city manager, the public safety chairman, the LEPC, they're all going to be working towards getting something that we can have that says this is what Skagway will do if we have to move to higher ground and where that higher ground is.
In Haines, Harbormaster Phil Benner was out of town, but said he received the tsunami alert on his phone. Assistant Harbormaster Joe Parnell also called Benner. Parnell and Haines Volunteer Fire Chief Scott Bradford went to the harbor until the warning was canceled, Benner said. Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe said no other precautions were taken in the Haines area. Port Alexander, on the southern tip of Baranoff Island, saw a wave of about a half a foot, a little more than an hour after the main quake struck. Sitka and a few other communities saw smaller waves or tidal surges. Most evacuation shelters had closed by the time the tsunami warning was lifted. No injuries were immediately reported. Wrangell saw damage to GCI's fiber optic lines, and some Juneau sewer and water lines broke. But other damage appeared to be limited to items falling from cabinets and shelves. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake was the result of a shallow strike slip faulting near the boundary between the Pacific and North America plates. Geologists said it broke a fault approximately 30 miles in length and slipped about 7.5 yards. Friday's late-night quake was about 200 miles south of Juneau. A grand jury indicted a Haines man on December 28th on 7 felony counts of theft and fraud. According to Haines Police Chief Gary Lowe, the 22-year-old man was working at a Haines business when he allegedly stole credit card information from customers and defrauded the business where he was employed. The instances of theft occurred between April and June of last year. Court documents state the man stole money through the unauthorized use of credit cards in amounts ranging from about $50 to $158. He was also indicted on theft from the business itself, basically taking the money from the customers meant for the business. The business was not involved in the thefts, according to court documents. The man is not in custody, and an arraignment for his plea has yet to be set, according to the district attorney. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday for its first meeting of the new year. The only unfinished business on the agenda is approving the sale of some borough property near the Haynes Ferry Terminal to the state for terminal upgrades. After negotiations, the parcels are being sold to the state for $338,000, about $36,000 more than first offered by the state. Under new business, the Assembly will pass several resolutions under the consent agenda with no discussion, including a $43,000 Southeast Road Builders change order for the Haynes Street Improvement Project, the purchase of new lights for the Haynes Wastewater Treatment Plant, and a resolution to the U.S. Department of Transportation to encourage continued funding for the Shacwack Project, part of the Northern Alaska Highway System. The Assembly will also vote on purchasing security cameras for the LUTAC and Port Chilkoot docks. This is a required part of the grant funding from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security for the new fencing at the docks. In the agenda bill, Borough Clerk Julie Causey noted the borough is installing 3 cameras total between the 2 docks, the minimum number allowed by the grant. She writes that, quote, "the borough has not gone camera crazy." Also under the consent agenda, the Assembly will accept an amended version of the Northern Economics Port Study. The study now includes 2 pages of recommendations for actions the borough can take in anticipation of future port development. One of the few items up for Assembly discussion on the agenda is a proposal by the mayor to create an ad hoc committee to assist with the nonprofit funding process at the borough level. Mayor Stephanie Scott writes in a memo that there should be a different approach to allocating public funds to nonprofit services and activities during the budget cycle. She proposes an ad hoc committee be composed of an Assembly member, the borough finance director, the mayor, and a member of the public. She suggests the committee be tasked with reviewing the applications from nonprofits for borough funding, scoring them in a matrix, and making recommendations to the Assembly. The Assembly will also discuss a proposed Klaheny Bridge replacement. The project includes transferring the ownership of the bridge from the state to the borough, and the state is accepting comments on the project. In his report, Borough Manager Mark Ernest notes that 3 applications have been received for renewal of heliskiing permits for 2013. That includes a permit application from Alaska Heliskiing, which was the company that lost a guide and customer in a fatal avalanche last March. The family of the customer that died has said they object to the renewal of the company's permit because they don't believe Alaska Heliskiing followed proper safety guidelines in its operation. Borough Clerk Julie Causey determines whether to renew permits, and the borough manager then allocates skier days to companies with permits. Causey has not made a determination on any permit applications yet. The Borough Assembly meets at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. A full agenda and assembly packet can be found online at the Haynes Borough website. The head of the state's ferry system is stepping down. Captain Mike Neusel's last day of work as the Deputy Commissioner for Marine Operations will be this Friday, January 11th. Neusel has been in the post for just under 2 years, since March of 2011. His departure comes close on the heels of a decision by Governor Sean Parnell to scale back the Alaska-class ferry project, a decision which took even the region's legislators by surprise. He said his resignation is not fallout from the issue.
I wouldn't characterize it that way. It's a mutual agreement between myself and the commissioner, and that's how it's going forward.
DOT Commissioner Pat Kemp himself is fairly new to the job. He's been serving as interim commissioner since Mark Lucan resigned in October. Governor Parnell gave Kemp the permanent appointment on December 22nd. Neusel says he's grateful for the opportunity to have worked with the staff in the department and the Marine Highway. He's often been the face of the system when something breaks down, but there's an upside.
It's been a very interesting experience dealing with all the communities and actually seeing and realizing how important the ferry system is to the communities that we serve.
Neusel said he has no plans for another job right away. He didn't get much of a break after his last one.
I'm going to be retired. I was retired from the Coast Guard. I did a 30-year career in the Coast Guard prior to being asked to take on this position, and I did and enjoyed it, and I'm going to go back to retirement and do some projects around the house.
There's no official word yet from the DOT on Neusel's replacement. In other ferry news, the state ferry Kennecott has resumed its cross-Gulf sailings after a two-day delay in Yakutat for repairs to its vehicle elevator. People planning a trip on the Kennecott in the near future should check with the Alaska Marine Highway Central Reservation Office for updated schedule information. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Ed Ronco for help with this report, and special thanks to Adam Richard for helping during the holidays. Visit our news section online at khns.org and our KHNS News Facebook page. We're always open to your comments and appreciate hearing story ideas and topics important to you. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friedenauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We are news from the Upper Lincolnell and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News. And on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lincolnell Weekend. And you can always listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.